Come on, somebody. And so, now I'm going to go ahead and invite all three of them up, but they're not all coming at the same time. Amen. It's going to be one. It's going to be back to back to back. Amen. So our last speaker is going to be Pastor Joe. I know he got some words for everybody. Our middle speaker is going to be Brother Mark Garcia. And our first speaker is co-directing our women's home right now. Amen. He's a powerful man of God. Help me welcome up Brother Anthony as he comes to preach tonight.
Come on, give Jesus a round of applause. Somebody say, woo! Man, I am excited. You guys can be seated. Excited about what God is doing in this ministry and what he did out there in California at the conference, man. It was awesome. Just super awesome. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara, for giving me this opportunity. I know you guys don't just invite anybody up here, so it means a lot to me that she would trust me to come up here and do this. Also, I want to thank my beautiful wife, Savannah. I love you. And, like I was saying, we just had an awesome time out there, man. It was a lot of fun. How many know it's fun to serve God? It's fun to be a Christian. You know what I mean? And so when I got there, we just had fun. We had fun seeking God. We had fun receiving the messages that he had for us. And it was awesome, you know, the fellowship with not just with us from the church, but with people from all over the world. We saw people from, I met people from Australia, from Panama, from Africa, from the UK, all over the place. And sometimes we get stuck in this, like, you know, our vision doesn't go past these walls. You know what I mean? So if you haven't been to a conference like that, go check it out, because that's where you really get the vision of how big this worldwide ministry is. You know what I mean? We get to see people from all over the world, that this is really an international ministry. But everything was awesome, you know, the fellowship, the worship was awesome. Yeah, I even got a chance to get up and sing a couple times. I'm just kidding. I really didn't. There was a worship leader that everybody thinks looks like me. So, yeah, me, and I guess me and Devin even got up and did a duet. If you don't believe me, ask Kyle. He's got the picture. Go ahead and put it up. I'm just kidding. He doesn't have it. No, but I even got a chance to go backstage with Kyle and, hang out with him back there and see a keyboard monkey in action. That's what he called himself, just a keyboard monkey. But it was awesome to watch him serve at an international level, you know what I mean, and see him doing his part. I look up to Kyle. I think he's an awesome dude, man. He's an awesome man of God, and, I look up to him. If you guys didn't see, or if you guys saw the conference online, or the guys that were there, there were these cards that the guys had, that the MCs and the, you know, the people that went up there did announcements, they had these cards that said Victory Outreach International on the front of them, and they were just awesome. Kyle designed those, and those came from our church, Brother Kyle out there. When you see that, that was Kyle. You know what I mean? I mean, it's nothing huge, but it's that little piece of what Kyle brought to the table added that much quality to the conference. And after one of the services, we got together, we all hung out at a restaurant. Pastor spoke with us at the table. And about quality, about how we don't have to just have that kind of quality at the conferences. We can bring that back to our local church. All it takes is us just, having a passion for what we do and doing our part to bring, you know, just that little bit of quality to what we do here. So I want to throw a shout out to Kyle. But the messages were on point. I was challenged, inspired, encouraged, convicted even. Because you know there's no time to waste, right? This world is getting crazy, man. There's a lot of crazy stuff going out there. People are dying out there, man. People are addicted. Crime is on the rise. Murder is on the rise. We see it on the news all the time. But I have great news. There's another number that's rising. At the conference, we had a record attendance. At the conference, it was exploding. That building was bursting at the seams. We had men pouring out into an overflow section. You know what that means? That means Victory Outreach is raising up an army. That men are being trained up. Men are being raised up. to take their city, to take their region, and to be launched out to the world. Men are being raised. God is raising up an army in Victory Outreach, and it was awesome to see. But and I, for one, don't want to be one just standing by. I want to be one of the ones being raised up. I want to get in the fight. I'm ready to get in the fight. I'm all in. But there was one message that really stood out to me. It was Pastor Anthony. I think it was the first morning. Anthony Sanchez, I believe. And he read out of 2 Samuel 5, 1 through 10. I'm just going to read it. It says here, all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.' When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. The king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, 'You will not get in here. Even the blind and lame can ward you off.' They thought, 'David cannot get in here.' Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, which is the city of David. On that day, David had said, 'Anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use the water shaft to reach those lame and the blind who are David's enemies. That is why they say the blind and lame will not enter the palace.' David then took up residence in fortress and called it the City of David. He built up the area around it from the terraces inward, and he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him." And by this time, this was a point where the tribes of Israel were divided. King Saul and his son had been killed, and it was becoming clear that David was about to take his kingship over the people of Israel. And by this time, David had been through a lot of things. He had been anointed king, but forced to continue serving the king that was reigning. He'd fought and killed a bear and a lion, defeated the champion of the Philistines. But Hebron represented something else for David. It represented a time where he had reached, where he felt like he had accomplished something, where he felt like, you know, I've been through all these things. God's gotten me through these things. It's time that I can just kick back. And, you know, there probably were times where, you know, where he felt he wouldn't make it. You know, he probably felt he had a right to just kick back. You know, God got him through all these things, and I'm sure he felt like quitting sometimes, but God had got him through it. And it's important that we don't get there in Hebron, in that place where we just feel we can kick back, like we've done all there is to do. You know, we've accomplished whatever there is to accomplish. We're at a point where, you know, this is okay. We're good right here. That's a dangerous place to be, and we don't ever want to get there. It's important we don't get there as individuals. It's important we don't get there as a church or as a region or as a ministry. There are three areas in our lives that I pointed out that we could be in Hebron. One, we can get in Hebron in our prayer life. If we don't pray as much as we used to, then you might be in Hebron. Pastor Augie talked about passion for prayer. If we're going to have passion, we need to have prayer. That's where we get our passion, is from prayer. Everything our founders have done was birthed in prayer. Everything that this ministry is founded upon, passionate prayer. And so that's how we have to live our lives. There's too many casualties. We've had too many casualties due to lack of prayer. We can't afford any more casualties. If you come to church, you talk to everybody but God, your prayer life might be in Hebron. So if you want passion, got to have prayer. Got to have prayer. Because we need men. We need men who are willing to get in the fight. We need men who are willing to get on their knees and fight. Fight. We need men that are praying for drug addicts, praying for alcoholics, praying for gang members, praying for their region, praying for their city, praying for the country, praying for the world. We can't get in Hebron in our prayer life. That's one area we can't be. The second one is in our giving. We went to the United We Can Covenant Partners meet and greet, and we got to hear from pastors, the pastor from Cuba, pastor from Panama, pastor from India. I didn't even know we had a church in India. But we heard from him, and God's doing some amazing things in those churches all around the world. And the reason why is because of our United We Can giving. You know what I mean? So we can't get slack in our giving. That's one area that, like, you know, that's what drives this ministry. We need the funds to be able to reach the world for Jesus. So we can't get in Hebron with our giving. And if you've been giving at the same level, they challenged us to raise our level of United We Can giving. If you've been giving at the same level for the last 10 years, you might be in Hebron in your giving. Just saying. The third thing is in church growth. We can't get in Hebron when it comes to church growth. We can't just think, oh, you know, like all the chairs we put out, we get filled on a Sunday morning. Look at that stack of chairs back there. There's a lot of seats that we need to fill. And if you haven't invited anybody to church within the last, if you haven't brought anybody with you within the last month, you might be in Hebron. You might be in Hebron. Just saying. But when you're in Hebron, you lose your passion. So how do we get out of Hebron? How do we get our passion back? What David did is he remembered when he was called. Do you remember the time that he was called? Do you remember when you were first saved? That's how when we get our passion back, is when we remember that day when we hit rock bottom and we had nowhere else to turn. But we got on our knees and we cried out to God and we said, God, change my life. That's passion. We have passion when we're in our process. When we're going through the struggle, we have passion. We can't get to the point where, oh, we're not struggling anymore, so we don't need passion. Passion is what gets us through the struggle. So when we remember the struggle, when we remember the time when the anointing first hit us, that's when we'll get our passion back. And we need passion for this church, for our personal lives, and to be able to go to the next 50 years in our ministry. Heavenly Father, we love you, God. Thank you for this opportunity, God. I pray that this message came through clearly and that people got something out of it. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on, give the Lord a good praise offering this evening. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 14. I'm going to go ahead and read that for us real quick for the sake of time. I want to thank God this evening for my salvation. I also want to thank Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara for this opportunity, amen, to share God's word alongside these other men this evening, amen. I'm really grateful, amen, for this opportunity and to know that God isn't finished with us yet. The Bible says in chapter 14 of 1 Kings, it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasure of the house of the Lord and the treasure of the king's house, and he took away everything. He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them. Then he brought them back into the guard room. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, for your word that is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. I pray, God, that your spirit would minister to our hearts this evening, God. Open up our minds, our understanding. Give me grace, God, to minister the message you placed in my heart in Jesus' name. And everybody said, you know, I went to a couple of the Spanish sessions during the Mighty Men of Valor. And one of the pastors from Panama spoke a message based on this portion of scripture that I read. And it was something that resounded in my heart. And as we get into it, you'll understand some of the reasons why. Now, time does not allow this evening to get into all of the details of the message. And I pray that God would grant me an opportunity in the very near future to be able to share the rest of it. But the key point that I want to share with you this evening is that in this portion of Scripture, it's about a king by the name of Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam is the son of Solomon. And he's also the grandson of David. And in this portion of Scripture, he allowed the king of Egypt to attack him and to take everything that was in the temple and even everything that was in his house, and he did nothing about it. Now, if we look at the Ministry of Victory Outreach, we have a rich heritage. We have a rich lineage, much like Jeroboam did. Jeroboam's grandfather was David, who was one of the greatest kings that Israel had ever known. David was a man who the Bible describes as a man after God's own heart. David was the giant killer. David was the king of Israel. He is the one that united the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel, where they became one great nation. And he had a vision. And David's vision was to build a house for God. It was something that he lived and he breathed, that he was passionate in doing. It was something that was his lifelong goal to accomplish, and that was to build a temple where people could come and worship God. But because of some of the decisions that he had made and the life that he had led, the Bible says that God told him that it would be his son that would build the temple and not David. And David, still having that passion and vision in his heart, gathered as much of the building materials as possible to make it easier for his son Solomon to build the temple. It was under King Solomon's reign that the temple was built, and the children of Israel had a unified place for them to come and worship God. They had a place to call their home. They had a place of their own where they could go and worship God the way God had instructed them way back when they were in the wilderness, when they first came up out of Egypt. Solomon was known as the wisest man on the earth. Solomon had a great legacy of his own. So we see Jeroboam of coming from a rich heritage and a lineage, much like many of us here this afternoon. We know that Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie were the visionaries of the ministry of Victory Outreach. It was a passion that they still hold dear in their heart, not only to reach East Los Angeles for Jesus, but to grow the ministry into the most effective inner city ministry of the world. They have a ministry that has lasted for 50 years because of the vision and the passion that they had to go out and tell the drug addict that God can change their life, to tell the alcoholic that God can change their life, to tell the prostitute that they don't have to walk the street anymore, but Jesus can change their lives and take them from that lifestyle and not only clean them up, not only get them sober, but put a vision in their heart to go out into the four corners of the world and let people know that Jesus Christ is the answer to everything that ails them today. Our ministry has a rich heritage and a rich lineage. We see the pioneers of our ministry that went into places that nobody had gone before, that were willing to trust God, that were willing to believe God for the impossible, that were willing to load up their family and all their personal belongings in the back of a truck and go to a city that they'd never been to proclaim the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a rich heritage and a rich lineage of those that have gone before us with the vision to reach the world at any cost, to make the sacrifices that are necessary, to take the risks that were needed in order to land a flag in different cities, the flag of Victory Outreach, and let them know that there is hope for the hurting people of the inner city. And then we saw the Joshua generation, much like the Solomons of Jeroboam's time, men and women that went into cities with the same vision and passion as Pastor Sonny and the pioneers, and not only gave the message, but were able to build churches in different cities throughout the world, through different cities throughout the United States, including here in the city of Albuquerque, where we have a place that we can call our own. We might have wandered in the wilderness for a little bit, but now we're in a place that has the name Victory Outreach outside, where every drug addict in Albuquerque can come and feel at home, where every gang member in this city can come and feel at home, where they will receive the message of hope and the transforming power of Jesus Christ. But then there's a Jeroboam generation, a generation or a man that represents many people today that are allowing Egypt, which is symbolic of the world, to come in and take the most valuable possession that we have, and that is the anointing, and that is the vision, and that is the call of God that is upon our lives. You see, Jeroboam was there, and even though he came from such a rich lineage, when Egypt or the world started to creep in, he didn't do anything about it, and as a result, the king came and took everything that was valuable to Jeroboam and the children of Israel. My question tonight is, are we allowing the world to take the calling and the plan and the purpose that God has for our lives? Have we traded the anointing of God for what the world has to offer? Have we traded the call of God for a career and a position with a company that didn't save you, with a company that didn't set you free, with a company that didn't call you? Are we trading that which is most valuable to God and that which would be most valuable to us for what the world has to offer? Are we compromising with the world and giving up our calling? Are we compromising with the world and giving up our prayer life and our relationship with God because we're more fascinated with social media than we are with spending time with the one that has set us free? Are we more concerned about chasing a career than chasing a calling? Are we more concerned about making a name for ourselves out there in the world instead of making a name for ourselves in heaven? Are we willing to make the sacrifices? Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to believe God for the impossible? What happened to the men that wanted to go out and start churches in other cities? What happened to the time that we used to send teams to other cities to let people know about Jesus? Where are the men that are being lined up and say, "Pastor, I want to go out. Prepare me. Teach me everything I need to know." Because there are cities here in the United States that need victory outreaches. There are cities in the East Coast that are dying because of heroin addiction that need Jesus Christ. Oklahoma City has one of the biggest gang problems in the United States of America. They need a victory outreach, but have we allowed the world to come and take that most valuable possession where we're not even talking about going out anymore? We're not talking about starting churches. All we're talking about is what a great job we have, what great benefits my job gives me. You know what? I said it before and I'll say it again. I don't care how much money Comcast throws at me. When the call of God comes upon my life, I'm going to make them kick rocks and I'm going to answer the call and do what God has called me to do. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love, God. God, we are privileged tonight to be part of such a powerful, powerful ministry that represents nothing less than the move of God in this earth. God, you've called us, God. You have anointed our ministry specifically to reach the hurting people of the world, God. God, help us. God, help us to push the world away, God. Not to open the doors to the world so that it takes the calling and the anointing that you've placed over our lives, God. Raise up men, women, that'll answer the call and do what you've called us to do. We love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give God all the praise. Come on, give it all for glory. I don't need to be up here. I can make the altar call right now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But obedience is better than sacrifice. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? I want to take advantage of the opportunity with what Anthony and Mark were speaking about, where we didn't meet, or we didn't, well, you speak about this, you speak about that, we put it all together. But I wanna speak about this vision that we talk about, this worldwide vision. So I wanna take you to First Kings chapter 18, verse 20. And while you're getting there, I just wanna take advantage of the opportunity as well to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for keeping me and still working in my life. You know, heard me testify Sunday, and it's something that, this might have been a valor. I needed to be there. I needed to be there because, you know what, God had to deal with me. Now, I don't know how he deals with you, but he deals with me like, ¿qué tienes? What's wrong with you, Joe? You know what I mean? And he had to literally, one of those servants, take me all the way back when they say, remember where you come from. He had to take me all the way back to when I was dead of a heroin overdose. And he brought me back to life. And how dare for me to not take that serious. And he had broke me right there. Now he's trying to break me now, but I mean, I just gotta let God do what he's gotta do. And sometimes we're the problem, not your pastor, not the church. We are the ones that the problem is. If we could just surrender, submit, and allow God to do what he's gotta do, and we've gotten this far, can you imagine how much more God can use in our lives? And you know, and here in 1820 of 1 Kings, so Ahab sent all the children of Israel where all the children of Israel gather the prophets together in Mount Carmel. Remember, he gathered all the children of Israel. And I know that every single one of you is a child of God. So that qualifies you. And then he goes deeper into verse 21. And Elisha came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is your God, then follow him. You know, and look what he says right there. All the people. And we want to throw in their victory outreach in there. And he gathered all victory outreach. Now he gathered us at the mountaintop in Ontario, California. Got all the men from all over the world. And I was blessed to see testimonies and see the vision, you know, of what God is doing around the world. So he started out with a simple, simple plan, which was in 1967. Right there in East Los Angeles, you know what I mean, with just Pastor Sonny and Julia, our founders, you know, and how God birthed that vision to go and reach treasures out of darkness and stuff. And it started with just a local vision. Then it went into regional vision. And then it went into local vision. And then all of a sudden, international vision. And now we are engaged in a global vision. You know, even when we and Pastor Danny were out in Salvador, people were telling me, what are you doing over there? We got souls over here. We got work over here. Why are you guys wasting your time? They couldn't understand the big picture. And sometimes, even right now, we think we're just a little church, but I want you to know we are engaged in a worldwide ministry. You know, and I don't want to down any other churches. To thank God for the many churches around. Thank God for the body of Christ. But there is nothing like Victory Outreach. I'll give you an example. We've been working with this Convoy of Hope forever, and we have meetings with pastors, and we're, okay, I'm going to be gone for a whole week to Mighty Men of Valor. You guys take care of business and do this and do that. And I came back, all kinds of excuses, and they didn't do nothing. Then we get another call from another mega ministry. Hey, we heard that you're helping Convoy of Hope. Can you help us distribute some flyers? They got more people than us put together, but they don't have the passion and the vision that Victory Outreach has. Oh, they have passion. Don't get me wrong. They're great churches, and they have a special call, and they're doing what they're called, and they're reaching souls. But when it comes to Victory Outreach, when it comes to people like you and I that we're grateful and understand where God pulled us out of, and most of us have a story to tell, and that's why I really believe that the hardship and everything that we've been through, that God just refined us. Hey, man, if you could do all that for the enemy in the world, and now with no anointing, with no spirit, with no guidance, with no purpose, no nothing, and the Holy Spirit came upon us, and he said, you shall be my witnesses in Samaria, in Judea, and the almost force of the world, to the anointing and the power of God. And that's why we engage in this worldwide ministry. And see, he gathered them all together. And he said, how long? Do we have to wait another 30 years? I don't think so. It's the same thing that I'm reminded when God gathered all the Israelites in Egypt, in Exodus chapter 12. And they all get together, and he brought them out. But the Bible says they all got the begonnings, and a mixed multitude went with them. And that mixed multitude were not all Israelites. Probably some were Egyptians, or some were this, or some were that. They had no vision. They had no purpose. They had their own religion, their own thing, but they went along. And if you look closely in Numbers 11, it was that same mixed multitude that wanted to start murmuring and complaining. Oh, we were better off in Egypt. Oh, this Moses brought us out here. And we got the same mix. People sometimes, oh, the pastor this, oh, the pastor that, oh, this, that, and do that. Oh, all they want is money. All they want this. And all they do is murmur and complain. But see, that same spirit jump on the Israelites. And sometimes, you know, and it goes on because if they didn't have no vision, they didn't have no purpose, they didn't understand things like United We Can. They didn't understand evangelism. They didn't understand why we have Christian recovery homes. Come on, somebody. They didn't understand all these things. Even to this day, people still don't understand. And he goes, so we mix them up. So, and then later on, Nehemiah, God raises up a leader by Nehemiah, and he got his plan and purpose to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now, God raised up leaders. He raised up leaders like Pastor Sonny, elders, regionals, locals. He raised them up with that vision, that purpose. He, at this Mighty Men of Valor, the first night, first Pastor Sonny came, man, this is, we ain't playing games. And then he goes down. man, you guys are lazy. Then he went down. Pastor Al, man, he just dropped it. He just told his church, you know what? You guys don't want it? There's the door. There's more souls out there. We just gather out. You know, we're not going to tell you to leave. We're not going to tell you to go. We're not going to do anything crazy like that. But the bottom line is, either you have the vision or you don't have the vision. Either you're in it or you're not in it, or you're with us. See, that's what he was talking about, bringing all this. See, we in this ministry, we have a mandate. We have a chain of command. We're all doing what we're supposed to be doing. And we can partner or we can get identified with other ministries. That's not what we're called to do. Thank God for what they're doing out there. I really believe with all my heart that every soul in here, just the city of Albuquerque, every soul will get to be saved today. There will not be enough churches. I'm talking about Calvary. I'm talking about Legacy. I'm talking about all, even Victory Outreach, all these churches, there will not be enough. The point is, there's plenty for everybody. And there's still a lot of people hurting out there. Even on the way I came in to Saturday night. I came to church Sunday morning. I drove to Las Cruces. And within those 2 days, I get a call from these two guys. That they didn't know I was in Las Cruces. The point is that we can't lose focus of reaching people. Now, how does that tie in with our ministry? How does that tie in with everything that we're trying to do with it to grow our church and to take this to another level? Thank God for the loyal. Thank God for the faithful. But you know what? When Nehemiah rose up to power, and you read it right there in Nehemiah 13, he came to a conclusion, got all the people together. Okay, we're going to follow the commandments of Moses. We're going to do what we've been doing. And they did something exciting. He separated the mixed multitude. Because it looked like they were on the way, but in reality, they were just in the way. Now, he separated. He said, like, oh, he cut him off. You're not welcome. Or you're not being, you know, he just separated them. And how many of you guys know sometimes God has to separate even us and equip us? And sometimes, you know, like I have a habit of going after all people, reaching people, and sometimes, what am I wasting time with this guy? Why can't I just leave the 99 and go after the one? Come on, somebody. Instead, we leave the one and go after the 99. Come on, help me out, somebody. Now, we separate him. We leave him there. We pray for them. There's still hope. God will still finish what started in them. But what about the next one? What about the one like Eddie at the hospital surviving for his life? That had no clue, no idea what he was going through. You know, he told me in his writing language, I miss you guys. And God told me that you will be my mentor. And he broke me. What about that next person that's going to walk into that door? What about the next one that's contemplating suicide? And we're over here, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I don't know about you guys. I don't want to be caught up in the mix. Business as usual. Coming to church, amen. I'm blessed, everything's cool. No. I want to be part of this great vision. So in closing, I want to challenge you tonight. Is there any grateful treasures out of darkness? Come on, somebody. That's been delivered, that's been set free, that's have a passion for souls, that have a ministry, that have that passion, you know what, that vision that we talk about all the time, taking the world for Jesus. But guess God, it begins right here in Jefferson, 435 Jefferson. And I know that Lord's been preparing us, equipping us, challenging us. Because you know what? It falls and rises on leadership. Your disciples are there, but we're the one. We're the catalyst. We are the catalyst, folks. Victory Outreach. We have to make it happen. But as the Bible says, judgment begins in the house of God. Empieza aquí, y aquí, y luego para afuera. It begins right here, here, and then out there. I don't want to be lip service, puro hablar. Victory Outreach and the vision, and we're doing this and we're doing that. Listen, don't get me wrong. We are doing something. Every single one of us, you are part of this great vision. You are the vision. But God's just challenging us and stretching us. Go a little further. Like he told the disciples, stay here. I want to go a little further here. Can we refine that? Stand to your feet tonight. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord God, for this great ministry, Lord God. This vision, Lord, that have captured all of us, Lord. Father, it reached me at my lowest, oh God. When nobody could understand me, Lord. When the prisons couldn't do nothing with me. Even the psychiatric nut house that couldn't figure me out, Lord. This drug addiction and all this anger and this violence, Lord. Father, no one could understand us, Lord. But Lord, you came in and changed everything, oh God. And Father, we just chosen vessels, Lord God, to carry this vision further to where you brought us to, Lord God. Father, we pray tonight, Lord God, that you would just equip us, Lord God. Father, we'll be able, Lord God, to continue to reach the lost, Lord God. And Father, we pray tonight, Lord God, that you would just equip us and challenge us as well, Lord God. Out of our comfort zone, Lord God. Our business as usual, Lord God. Father, I bind that religious spirit out of this church, Lord God. Father, we will not be judgmental. We will not be self-righteous or controlling, Lord God. That we will represent the love and the power of God, Lord. Lord, that you would just use our lives, use this ministry that you've been using around the world, Lord God. Father, we pray, Lord, that your will be done. I want to open this altar tonight. You know what I mean? We need prayer tonight. God, minister for me. We want to challenge you tonight, Lord. Lord.
I worship.
You don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. You haven't asked him to come into your heart. Would you repeat this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart, into my life. Change me. Make me the person that you call me to be. Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, get with somebody, some leader next to you. We'll give you some more directions. But we'll continue giving praise and honor and glory. Hallelujah.
Victory Outreach. Come on, let that be your prayer tonight. Oh God, we need you. Oh, we never stop. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand tonight. Come on, the mighty men of valor came back on fire tonight. I know God moved in a, such a powerful, powerful way, amen. You're more than welcome to stay at the altar and continue to pray, amen. And don't forget to jump on the Victory Outreach International YouTube channel. Watch all the messages for yourself, right there online. Make sure you subscribe. Amen. We're going to go ahead and be dismissed tonight. But once again, you're more than welcome to continue to pray here at the altar. Father, we love you. We thank you, God. Father, we thank you, God, for what you did tonight, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, God, that you brought back, God. Oh, Father, for the mighty men of valor, God. We don't want to be the same, God. Father, we don't want to be stuck, God, in a place of complacency, Lord. Oh, Father, we don't want to take for granted the anointing and the call of God. Oh, but Father, we want all, God, that you have for us, Lord. Oh, Father, we want everything that you have, the call, the anointing, the vision. We want it.